My next guest on the show has over four decades of martial arts experience, including three decades of instructing self-defense and personal fitness, and two decades working nightclub security. Marcus has become a respected expert in responding to and de-escalating violent situations. Welcome to the show, Marcus Torgerson.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. We had a tried to get you on before, but I had a situation at work I had to go to, and but we worked it out, and you're on the show now, and I can't thank you enough.
All good, man. All works out for a reason, right?
So I like to start it out for the listeners that's watching, you know, going to tune in to watch it later on or whatever. Kind of give us a brief description, kind of where you grew up, what led you to get into martial arts, and the beauty of it.
Well, I started when I was 10, and I started pretty cliche, just like a lot of other men and women on the planet. You know, I was getting my ass kicked by other kids. So I decided, and my mother decided, okay, we're going to put you in some type of martial art. She took me to this kung fu place. And if I'm being completely honest, the kung fu did not help me get my ass kicked less. If anything, it made me get my ass kicked more. But the seed was planted, and from that age of 10, it became my entire universe. I ate, slept, drank 24/7, 365. I was never very sports, very physical sports-wise. I just wasn't coordinated. So martial arts was my way of just kind of being in my own world and developing my own coordination and skills. And from it, it's literally just been my entire existence for the last, you know, 42 years. And it's, I went to compete in tournaments and then did some karate, a traditional karate style called Weichiru. Got a second degree black belt in that. And parallel to my martial arts, I also do personal fitness training. So, you know, I'm in my mid 20s and I'm kind of doing both at the same time. And I took a little bit of a, I'd say, I don't want to say a break, but let's just say a pause in martial arts. And then in 2005, I started doing Krav Maga. And that's been kind of for the last 16 years, it's been kind of the cornerstone of my martial arts career at this point.
No, that's awesome. So, you know, you said you were getting your ass kicked. Were you bullied in school?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm 52, so bullying then and bullying now is, you know, I look at it now as just a bunch of kids who didn't know how else to explain themselves. And yeah, I got put in lockers and, you know, smacked around and, you know, but I can't say that it was any different than anybody else. It just, you know, you feel like you're being tormented, but really, you know what? Who knows what it really was? It was just a shitty experience. And so I'm going to say, yeah, it was bullying because that's what it was. A bunch of kids being dicks, but that's what kids are. Kids are dicks. Like we grow up, we become young people and we do stupid things. And hopefully the goal is not to do those stupid things as we become adults. Not always the case, but so technically it was bullying and tormenting and shitty, but what can you do? It's childhood.
No, I have a little heart, I wouldn't say a soft spot for that kind of stuff. I was never bullied, you know. I wouldn't say popular, but I just blended in, you know what I mean? And towards when I got a little older, I became popular. I was, you know, played football, but my daughter, on the other hand, she's 14 now, but when she was around 9, 10, she was getting bullied.
Yeah.
And from my, I don't like throwing this out there, but from my experience in the military and my PTSD kind of raised this anger inside of me to where I was going to go to that school. And I'm not going to put my hands on a kid or nothing, but I wanted to go to the school and be like, hey, if one of you grown adults don't handle this.
Yeah, I will.
I will, you know, and I want the number to their family.
Yeah.
But we got it escalated, de-escalated, and, you know, my daughter's real popular now. Not saying she wasn't in, but she was just real quiet, kept to herself, and I think people preyed off of that.
Yeah.
Where now she's kind of came out of her bubble, and kids are all around her, you know, and it's like,
Right.
I'm glad that's over with, because it was tormenting her, you know, and I could tell. And when she come home, and it drove me nuts, man.
Yeah.
But she actually wanted to take some karate, but I was, you know, my little girl, you want to have that bubble around her, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to see her get kicked in the face, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I can't even, like, I personally can't imagine what it's like to be a young person now in this current climate with the internet and whatever. The bullying that happens now, I really believe, is a million times harder than it was then, when in our childhood. We just didn't have the access to information that we did now. So instead of just like two kids in your class being dips, you know, you've got the entire internet coming in and saying stupid things. So I'm happy that it worked out for her. I'll be honest with you. I'm a big believer in empowering kids with anything that gives them the option of being violent, only because most of the time they won't have to be, right? Like, you give them a skill set and you say, okay, well, this is what you're going to have to do, and give them the verbal skills and the confidence from within that they never end up having to sit there and do it. Versus if you don't give them the skills and they have that situation come towards them, they either cower or they end up doing something over and above because they're trying to compensate, right? Martial arts it's just a tool, right? Like, it's no different than archery or taking your kids shooting or fishing or anything. It's building a confidence in them on a skill set that they can achieve something that they didn't think that they could do before. I mean, at the end of the day, and I'm a little biased, obviously, because martial arts should be, depending on the coach or instructor, should be one of the most incredibly empowering and educating times of their life. It's like the rock in the water. The martial arts drops the rock in the water, and from the ripple effect, all of a sudden everything changes in their universe: school, personal relationships, parents, you know, relationships, romantic relationships, whatever. So I don't know, maybe you should let her get a little something in there, man. Let her start throwing hands.
Yeah.
If she keeps her hands up, she'll never sit there and get punched in the face, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when you first started, how long are these, I've never taken martial arts. I took some stuff in Korea, which was Taekwondo,
yep.
Some combatants levels 1, 2, and nothing on the scale that you're on. But
right.
I feel like if I got on the ground, I mean, hopefully I got someone on the ground, because that's when the combatants level kicks in and you can pin somebody. But what is the transition like from when you were 10 years old? How long does it take to get each belt and the process you got to go through to get them?
That was a long time ago. because every system is different, and things have changed dramatically, because it wasn't quite the business. Martial arts wasn't quite the business back when I was a kid to the way it is now, because a lot of businesses have to promote at a faster rate because they want the retention of their students. Right. So I will say this, that to answer your question, every system is going to be different. And while grading or rank is important, because that's how you show your development and progression in anything, and that's every aspect of our life, I think that there's far too much importance put on rank. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a blue belt, I'm a black belt, I'm a whatever. The amount of times I've seen guys get their ass kicked that were black belts at the bar, you know, if it's almost like a curse. As soon as you go like, I'm a black belt, whatever, you can almost bet money that dude's going to get just toasted from some guy who doesn't have any belts, who just knocks him the fuck out, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't really answer that question because of how vast every system is. But I will say this, that if you're going into martial arts with rank as your motivator, I think that you're going to have a big picture. I think you're going to run into some real serious problems, because that's not what martial arts is supposed to be about. Right. And I understand goal-oriented people. There are some people who are like, I just need a goal. I need to get my white belt, my green belt, my black belt, whatever. I get the goals. But when it comes to martial arts specifically, rank is definitely should be the last thing you give a shit about.
No, that makes total sense, because everybody's looking towards that next belt, that next belt, that next belt, when you need to, I guess, absorb what's going on around you right then, soak it all up. That way you become an expert at that one level before you go to the next. No, that's a great way to put it, man. I would even think that way if I didn't know going into it, you know, and then, you know, for a listener that's wanting to take it, there you go. Soak that up and learn from that experience. So that's great.
And it transcends, like, even in the military, right? There's a lot of guys who have some high rank and they have no respect whatsoever because of the fact that they've, I wouldn't say done it the wrong way, but they definitely didn't do it the right way. And I think that mentality should transcend in everything in life. You have VPs, presidents, you have managers who just don't understand that the rank alone doesn't mean jack shit, that it's what you do with that rank and how you are amongst your people that should be making the difference, right?
Absolutely.
But easier said than done, right? Human beings are not that easy to figure out.
No, and you put that at a great point, because I'll tell you right now, I've been with some leaders, E6, E7. Most of my first sergeants were really squared away. They were tabbed. A lot of the, you know, and I'm not a college graduate, but I know leaders, you know what I mean? I've been around them long enough, and I've had some captains, some lieutenants that were dumb as crumb, you know what I mean? And don't know their elbow from their asshole, but because they have this college degree, they think that they know everything. And it's like, whoa, guy, I wouldn't lead you in, I wouldn't follow you into a damn whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I've been around some extremely great leaders, and you know, I respect the hell out of him. One was an E5, and he trained me to who I am today, you know, and I can't thank that guy enough.
Nice.
Speaking of training, have you trained any, high profile people or, celebrities or anything like that?
But like most people, at least how I was brought up, when you work with people who are of a certain net worth or certain celebrity, one, out of respect for them, you keep your fucking mouth shut, or you've signed non-disclosure contracts. I never had to sign any of those, but I've trained people who have, in every field, pretty famous people, and I'm very thankful.
Can you talk about any of them?
I can, but I won't.
No, that makes sense. I got you. I just didn't know if you're willing to talk about them or not.
No, I mean, the truth is these people hired me to learn skill sets so that if their protection detail happened to falter, or, you know, human beings are human beings, didn't happen to go the way they wanted to, that their last line of defense would be themselves. So they would learn these skills so that they at least could create the opportunity to escape and or have their detail come in and make up for their mistake previously. So yeah, I've been pretty fortunate to work with some pretty good people, but my general group of people that I work with is just mom and pop, normal, squared away, average Joes who want to invest in their own personal protection.
Oh, that makes sense. What's the most satisfying thing about martial arts in your opinion?
I think in my opinion is when you see someone who was broken for whatever reasons, not important, be able to look in the mirror and like who they see, you know, where they've done enough training where they're like, you know what? I'm not a piece of shit. I'm an okay guy or girl or person. And I can continue on. That's been the biggest thing, is to see people who come in shattered and through the training have been able to piece themselves together through community, through their own internal struggles, and been able to hold their head up high and actually like who they see in the mirror again. I think that is probably the most magnificent thing that ever happened, I've ever seen in the martial arts community.
I bet as you see this person's confidence going up and up and up, I bet you can see it when it starts to start clicking and you don't see that broken person. You start to see the confidence start building and building and building till now they're like, you know what? Yeah, here it is.
Yeah. And I think the beautiful part about confidence is we think that it's kind of like Virginia. Once it's gone, it's gone. But confidence is it fluctuates, right? Like there's people that can fake confidence and they can fake it till they make it, which, you know, for if that's what works for you, whatever. But watching somebody who truly is looking at themselves as, like, I'm going to use a domestic violence, right? You've got battered wives. I've trained women who, I mean, the beatings that they've taken, I don't even know how they're still alive. And they're fighters by nature, because that's how they've survived and thrived in that environment. But watching them not survive just in sheer animalistic, carnal, primal behavior, but watching them look in the mirror and say, I'm worthy of good things, and being able to learn the simplest of movements so that they can strike back against their assaulter, their husband, their boyfriend, whatever. And the best confidence is when they're like, you know what? I deserve better. I can kick your ass. I'm going to choose not to. This happens way more often than usual, is they look at their assaulter. They sit there and they're like, you know what? You're a piece of shit. I am done. I'm gone, which nobody ever believes them because they keep going back. They don't have to actually have any fight. They don't have to do anything. But it's the fact, it's kind of like when you carry, right? You carry a pistol hoping that you'll never, ever, ever have to use it. Oh. Ever, right? You train with it. You work with it. You make sure that you are as skilled as possible with that pistol so that you never have to use it. Bottom line. At least that's my thought process.
No, that's exactly right.
So when you see these people and they're training hard and they're just breaking barriers and seeing the truth of who they really are, and then to be able to look their attacker in the eyes and be like, you know what, you have no power over me whatsoever. You're a piece of shit. I'm out of here. That is, I can't think of a more, if that's all I ever did in my lifetime, just see that a couple of times, which I've seen it more than a couple of times, I can say, you know what? All right, God, I'm ready. I'm good. Because there is no other. And that goes for children, especially for children, because let's be honest, confidence building, no matter what you're doing as a parent, you can't beat puberty. You can't beat elementary and high school and all the bullshit that we have to go through to go into adulthood. To see them walk with real confidence, which is internal, is one of the best things I've ever seen in my lifetime, not just career, but just in my lifetime.
Yeah. And if you're a guy putting your hands on a woman, you're a piece of shit. Just saying.
Yeah. Now I'm going to say this. I've been attacked with a beer bottle by three people in my lifetime at a bar, and they've all been women.
Spousal abuse.
I will say this, the domestic violence is, there's a reason why law enforcement don't ever want those calls, mm-hmm. right? Those are the most officer injuries happen at a domestic violence call, because you're dealing with the buddy, locking them up, and all of a sudden you're taking a frying pan to the back of the head because the wife has said, don't hurt my husband. The mentality of the domestic abuser, and now we usually use man on woman because that's what we hear most of. What we don't talk about is the reverse of the amount of women that are beating men, right? They don't get reported because a man will have a hard time going up to an officer saying, yeah, my 115-pound woman wife beats me on a regular basis. See how you're laughing, right? Yeah. It happens all the time. I mean, really? I've trained tons of men who, and I've met these women, and they're evil. They're just evil. Controlling, wow. Evil women who will stab you with a fucking spoon in a heartbeat in your eyeball. They're evil. So my point to this was, we put man and woman as in certain boxes. And the truth is, violence, it transcends all sex, genders, sizes. It doesn't matter. If you, a douchebag piece of shit is a douchebag piece of shit. And it doesn't matter whether it's a man, woman, child, it doesn't matter. There's just evil people and they need to get their asses kicked. And I don't give a shit. Like I personally don't care what's in front of me. You could be a 15-year-old teenage girl, a 30-year-old woman or a 45 or 25-year-old man. If you're a douchebag piece of shit ready to hurt me, I'm putting you down so I can create an opportunity for escape. And I think it's important. Your viewers may be like, Marcus, that is completely inappropriate. I don't agree with that. That's because you haven't had a sharp object coming to your eyeball with ill intent. And it, behind it was a very, very drunk, angry woman. So what are you supposed to say? I'm sorry, ma'am. Could you please refrain from trying to stab me in the face and use my words, my big boy words, to de-escalate? No, you have to deal with it. Punch that person square in the face or throat, in her case, and drop her like a sack of potatoes. Violence doesn't discriminate. I think you and I would both agree with that, right? Violence is never – a bullet doesn't discriminate. It doesn't give a shit who you are, what you are. It takes lives. That's what it does, because it has no cares whatsoever. So when we're dealing with violence in any shape or form, I can't put a certain person, place, or thing as a oh, well, he or she is doing this. It's just violence, and they're douchebags. Douchebags are douchebags.
No, that's a great point. No, that's great, because I love the way you put that, honest to God, because when you look at our wars, people's not thinking that the women are doing anything over there. It's only men.
Of course.
And women have them rifles. I wouldn't say 90% of the women.
No.
Women have launched rockets. They've thrown grenades. They've walked out with vests on. So it's a different fight, but it's the same fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but we're conditioned, like you said, as a society to not, like, my whole life, I was told the same thing. You raise hands on a woman and you are the lowest piece of shit on the planet. And that was my entire life. Well, when you're a teenage boy and you've got three dominant girls who are kicking the shit out of you, and you're like, and you're told, and this didn't happen to me, but I'm talking about just as an example. Well, yeah. And the only way to get out of that situation is to slap or punch one of those girls to get a wedge open so you can slide through. The second that it happens, and then you get caught, and you're in the principal's office, and you're like, "What happened, Marcus?" Marcus, we understand that you slapped Betty Sue. Well, yes, sir. Well, you're suspended. Well, Betty Sue and her two cohorts were kicking the shit out of me, and it hurt, as you can see by bruises and cuts. No, sir, I'm afraid you're a stroke of woman. You see what I'm saying? Like, it has to be. There has to be a scale. Right. You have to be scalable to violence is violence. Whoever is the attacker, the defender has the right to defend themselves with the proper amount of force. Right. Use of force. It's not just for the law enforcement or rules of engagement. Just can't be for military. There has to be that has to be about violence in general.
Yeah, I think my thing is, I guess the guys that from what I've heard, you know, guys that go to the bars, come home, and they're just pissed off, and then they want to start beating the shit out of their wives. Yep. That's more what I'm talking about. You're a piece of shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, anybody who goes to a bar, gets drunk, and then takes their garbage on the people that they love, kids, wife, whatever. I mean, that individual has issues. That's a problem dude, right? Like, that is, you're using alcohol, and they'll always use alcohol as an excuse. I'm sorry, I was drunk or whatever. I mean, the frustrating part with domestics is how much is enough. You would think that after your first broken jaw, that you would be done, gone, out of there. You know, the paperwork is that thick on a one household of a domestic. And usually it isn't until the abuser strikes the child in a way that is unforgivable, right?
Yeah. Like,
little Tommy now has not a broken arm, because broken arms, but the minute that little Tommy got a fucking frying pan to the back of the head, Mama Bear kicked in and stabbed Papa Bear 52 times in the eye, you know?
Yeah.
But it usually takes that kind of an extreme thing where you messed with a child, or actually it's usually always the children, because most domestics that I've dealt with, it went for almost decades.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, and it's I grew up in a violent household. My mom beat the shit out of me on a regular basis. So I'm not talking out of my ass when I say, you know, having to deal with violence on a regular basis, an abusive household, abusive alcoholic household. I get it. I understand it. which is the reason why I'm a little more empathetic about men or women, whoever are getting abused. I'm empathetic to, okay, even if you're going to stay, then learn some shit to at least change the odds a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Your 6'2", 250-pound husband has the advantage. Let's change that advantage a little bit. And the truth is, like I told you earlier, it's usually not about the final act of violence fighting back. It's about the fact that I can take your life. I can do these things, and I choose not to for whatever reasons. You know, that's the empowerment.
No, it's a good way to put it, that stuff, because I would never think about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you always think of, you know, a man's so much bigger than a woman. You know, let's level her playing field a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women, you know, in them situations are scared to do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That they're going to get beat even worse if they go try to do something, you know?
Yeah, beat, or, you know, what do? They married this dude. They're in a new city. Their family's away from them or whatever. Like, they don't have a community to fall back in. So they're stuck with their house, with their kids and the abuser. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into play for why an abuser has the mental, more, even more mental than physical trap on them. You know, everybody can heal from physical abuse, right? Everybody can. That, what's that adage? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Whoever said that was a fucking liar. They're a liar. That's bullshit. It has to be the reverse. Everybody can heal from getting beaten. What you can't heal from, or very hard to heal from, is the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, the constant feeling like you're just worthless. That's where finding a outlet or finding something to do to change, to alter that verbal playback, negative insurgency that ends up being in your head, because all you're doing is repeating what you hear externally, right? So that's where, find something. I don't give a shit what it is. Bowling. If whatever it is that you can, first of all, anybody that has a domestic problem, anytime they're allowed to escape and go to the house, out of the house, is a miracle, right?
Yeah.
Going to the mall and shopping and whatever, you know, the most mundane things is the small reprieve from being held captive in a house of hell. That's the bottom line. Talk to any domestic survivor, they'll tell you.
Yeah. So working the nightclub scene, I'm sure you've seen some crazy shit. Yeah, I heard you giggle. What's the worst thing that you've ever had to encounter or de-escalate or, you know, had to help with?
The worst. Well, I think the one that it's not so much the worst, they're just, I'll cluster them together, is watching a man or men try to sexually assault women in bathrooms or in the parkways, like out of our jurisdiction, actually. And the amount of times I'd get in shit because I went off reservation to out of our realm of what we were allowed to do stuff in. But watching men take advantage of women, I think that to me is the worst part. I'll take the fights and I'll take the normal, and I use the word loosely, the action and behavior when you combine alcohol, men and women, it's a trifecta for just like an explosion. Bad things are going to happen no matter what. But when you look at seeing women in an altered state, whether they've been drugged or they're just hammered, and watching men try to take advantage of that, that is the worst thing I've ever seen. Because I've seen stabs, we've seen the gunshot wounds, we've seen massive beatings, like 15 on ones. Like, I've seen all of that. But watching men, you know, men take advantage of a woman, you know, I'm not going to say that I was very professional. I can't lie and say I was very professional in how I acted in those manners. I'm thankful that I had teammates at the time that intersected and were a little more level-headed, but I can't think of anything there's no jail time. There's no arresting that can help with the punishment that deserves to anybody who would violate a human being. And worse, you know, when I was doing it, their phones weren't quite the way that they are now. You know what I mean? But before you know it, you're getting videotapes and stuff. They're uploading it. And this girl's going to be on Pornhub.com because she's half passed out. And there's three guys trying to fucking throw a train on her, you know?
Jesus.
Like that kind of stuff is a challenge for me. This is why I don't laugh anymore ever when girls are like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and they go in like twos or threes. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Guys never do that. Well, that's because guys, there's not like four women coming in trying to rape a guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just doesn't happen. So I'm all for groups of women going to work as a pack to protect their fellow drunk human being. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
But you know, I've seen things in clubs of, you see the worst in humanity, right? You do see the best, but very, I think it's more like the worst and the best is down here somewhere, because again, you're combining alcohol, drugs, opposite sex, and demons inside of people. Demons being like, you know, internal struggles that come to fruition. And all of a sudden, before you know it, guys walking by and takes a ball, smashes some chick over the face. Why? Because that was his answer. Because she Jeez. Stepped on my foot or whatever. And this chick's got I think she ended up with 70 stitches across her face. You know?
No shit.
Literally no reason whatsoever. None. And there was nothing that provoked it, nothing that we could have done to stop it, which is the hard part as a protector is, what could we, you know, we're looking at tape and we're like, well, did he give any signs? Because usually there's signs. Like if you look at any CCTV camera, you can usually tell body language of who's going to do what. It's pretty evident, right? Hand positioning, why is a hand behind the back, whatever, you know, but this guy literally just got a bottle and in it, like usually, you know how you hold it by the neck when you crack somebody in the head? This guy just took the bottle, literally got it from the bar and just smashed it into her face. I mean, he cut his hand all to shit, but like no reason. So whatever, I can't say the worst, any one worst thing, but just the worst of humanity, seeing the worst of humanity and being jaded as a result of it. You know, when I talk about people and alcohol and watching how much they're retards, you know, there's good drunks and then there's just evil people who are drunk. You know what I'm saying? So you've been in your share of bars, you know, and nothing's changed. The bars in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way up to now, nothing's changed. One guy, one drink, who's an asshole, fucks up everything.
Yeah, I was always that guy that was, I wouldn't say goofy, but I kind of just watched everybody.
Right.
I was fun to be around, but the more I drank, the more I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? I was never... Right. Unless someone come to me, you know,
yeah,
there was a couple times, I'm not gonna lie, there's a couple times I'd look over at a guy and I'm like, man, I just want to kick the shit out of this dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think it's human nature.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, even sober, sometimes I look at some dudes and I'm like, god dang, man, I just want to kick the shit out of this guy.
Yeah,
you know, it's not about that, but you know, I would say 90% of my drunk times I was having a blast. You know, I didn't want to have no confrontation. You know, it's like,
yeah,
just a freaking blast with my boys in the military.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was a different level. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was
well,
weird.
Alcohol brings out the truth. Like, let's be honest. Alcohol brings out the truth. That's why, you know, like I've been sober now 6 years. And the reason for
Me too.
Is because, oh, is that right? Congratulations.
Well, I don't, before, let me, I had some beer the other night on a podcast. It was a great podcast. I had 6 beers. Mm-hmm. And that's the most beer I've drank. And I can't even tell you how long, man. But before that, 2016, I'll be honest with you, my wife looked at me and was like, look, if you don't stop, I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was an eye opener for me. And it was like, before, if the cooler had 30 beers, I'm going to drink 30 beers.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how shitty I felt.
Yeah.
I feel better about it now, you know, and then I felt bad for drinking those 6 beers. You know what I mean? I felt this weird, like, why, am you know, like a, I don't know how to put it. I felt guilty, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but I knew when to stop. You know what I'm saying? Where before I didn't. So,
yeah.
But congratulations on your 6 years sobriety.
Thank you. Well, I like you, one's not enough and 100's too many. you know, and I'm a bad drunk. It's in my genetics. Like there's, really? I've got on my mother's side, there's the three generations I know, they're all alcoholics. On my father's side, he died when I was young, but they're all alcoholics. So I've got a genetic disposition for alcoholism, and everybody who's a drunk in my family, everybody, the stories I've heard, they're all fucking evil. So
really,
yeah. So drinking and me is just not a good combination. I try to be empathetic towards people. Now, if you know that you're like, when you walk up to somebody, let's say you and I are at a bar, right? And there's somebody who's acting like a fucking douchebag, and like, I mean, really a serious douchebag. And you tie him up, and he sobers up. He's like, and you ask him a question: is this the first time you've ever acted like an idiot while you've been drinking? Nobody's ever going to be like, yeah, it's my first time. No, they're going to be like, yeah, I'm like this every single time. If you know that you're an idiot when you drink, don't drink.
Yeah.
It's that simplistic. Oh, but I'm with my buddies and I got to get hammered with my buddies. Well, you don't have to do shit. And if your friends can't accept you for fucking being sober, then fuck them. You know what? Yeah. Anyways, I'm moving off of that. I stay away from alcohol because I'm an asshole. And so now I just am a sober asshole.
No, there's nothing wrong with that either. I get called that all the time. I'm real direct. You know what I mean? Yep. I don't sugarcoat shit. I don't think it needs to be sugarcoated.
Yeah.
And it rubs people the wrong way. And, you know, sometimes I kind of question, like, damn, I come off as a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I hate being lied to, and I don't like people. I don't like fake people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't.
I understand that completely. I get it. I completely get it.
So what is the scariest situation you personally have been in and why?
I can't say that on the receiving end of violence on the receiving end of things, scariest things have been, you know, I don't know how much, you know, this I'll try to keep it as low key as possible, but you know, the scariest things that I've ever had to deal with are, you know, being abused as a child or when you're a kid and you've got, you know, six guys boot fucking you on the street, you know, that's scary, right? You know, you're hanging around with a bunch of people and bullets are flying all over the place. That's scary. But the scariest times I've ever had in my lifetime are when I've been the fucking asshole, right? Like where I've done not so nice things. And it's scary because you think that's not me. I'm not capable of doing whatever it was that I did. And then you have to look in the mirror and be like, wow, you are a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so scary for me receiving stuff. You know, you can deal with it. It's when you're giving the violence or when you're giving the negative shit, whatever it is that you're doing. Like that's for me anyways. When you said scary, it's me being scary on where I've been shut down because of, you know, where your kids see you absolutely fucking hammered and you're full of blood and everything. You know what I mean? The terror on a kid's face. Like that scares me because that's my fault. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, being scared of, you know, getting assaulted as a child by strangers and, you know, not being able to do anything about it. Like those are terrifying things. Getting my ass kicked as a kid or even as an adult or fighting as an adult, like those, there's nothing terrifying about that because at the end of the day, I'm alive, right?
Yeah.
I'm here. And to some degree, you know, you have somewhat of control over it. It's terrifying stuff is where you didn't have control being receiving it, or you didn't have control and you were giving it. To me, those are the terrifying things. And that's where regret and gremlins start to feed off of that shit. You know what I mean? Like trying to forgive yourself for the times that bad things happened to you, or you did bad things to someone else. Those are the terrifying things. Cause those are the things I fight with every day.
Yeah. No, Dude, you're opening up, and it takes courage and a lot to even tell them kind of things. You know what I mean? Especially over there, you know,
I
appreciate
what
that.
I hope is that, you know, there's somebody that's listening is like, God damn, wow, are you speaking directly to me? And that's what I'm, yep. what I'm hoping is that if I can be honest and open about everything that's going on in my life or it been happening in my life, and I'm still alive. Like, here's the key yeah. part. I'm still here at 52 and all the bullshit I've gone through and all the really bad things I've done and all the times that I've fucking put a pistol in my mouth or whatever, had those really bad thoughts. The fact that I'm still here, and if I can still be here and I've done the things I've done and had the things done to me, then you listening, whoever is listening, and you're like, I just don't know if I can do it. Well, yes, you can fucking do it. It's not going to be happy and all fucking sunshines and roses, but yeah, you can do it. So if I can be open about it, then hopefully they'll be open about it. Cause that's where the problem is us not talking about shit is where bad things happen. And to put yep. that, I'm okay. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good should be stricken from our fucking vocabulary. Okay. Cause you're not good. Yeah. Good is, you know, getting over depression.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You know, No. That's what this is about, man. Honest to God. And I think a lot of it, men, you know, you don't look like a small good dude. You look like you work out. And I think it's masculinity and not in a good way. You know, you're just like, you know, guys are like, I'm not telling what's wrong with I'm not letting that right. out. I'm a little yeah. weak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolute bullshit. And we're conditioned to that as children because our fathers or our male figure models and their male figure models said that crying and compassion and empathy, that's for pussies. Pussies don't do that. Well, thank you. Thank you. That's toxic masculinity right there. When you tell somebody that they can't share their feelings because it makes them look weak, that's toxic. Never mind the masculinity part, but that's toxic behavior. Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Cry. Let it out. You know what? It's okay to watch a chick flick and cry in the middle of it. It's okay to hug your children. It's okay to walk up to your wife and be like, you know what? I feel like the fucking smallest human being, a piece of shit on the planet, and fall into her arms. Like, these are okay things. The whole tough guy thing has to be abolished. You know when you have to be tough? When you're running down a street and having to save your kid from getting their ass kicked by fucking 10 people with baseball bats. I'm just throwing shit out. Yeah, no, that's no. when you have to be fucking tough, because you're running into Hell's Kitchen and taking out fucking body parts while you're trying to snatch your kid. That's tough. You know who's easy at doing that shit? Women.
Yeah.
Women will run through fucking, they'll run into fire, oncoming fire, to go and save that child. But yet when men do it, it's macho. When women do it, it's, you know, nurturing. So I just think that, again, we start classifying people. You know what I'm saying? Like, my boy Alan he's a big dude, military guy. You know, he's done all these great things. He's been with NASCAR. He's done all these things. Well, he couldn't possibly understand what I'm going through. I think that's ignorant. Yes, he will understand what you're going through. Why not just have the conversation? Ask a question. Hey, man. So the other day, I don't know why, I was listening to this song, and before you knew it, I was in a fetal position fucking crying for like 2 hours. I'm fucking pussy. But if that person can have the balls to talk to you about that, and then you can reassure them, be like, dude, you're not a fucking pussy. I did it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Or not make a competition out of it. You know, I fucking, yeah, well, I fucking did it for 9 hours. I was in 10 days. I'm still crying. But if you can sit there and we can share with men, I would say human beings in general, but men in general are the retards, and say, hey, man, you're not special. Okay. In the sense of, you're not alone. You're not special. You are the same as everybody else. Those feelings you're having are, and I hate the word normal, brother. I hate it. But they're acceptable behaviors. Don't store it yeah. in. Let it out. And then I think if we did that, we'd have a lot less people offing themselves. In my own personal opinion. Again, I don't know statistics. I'm not a fucking smart dude or anything, but I know the other end of the spectrum. Okay, you can be all scientific and shit and tell me that this is the reason why people feel that way. Well, I know how they feel. And holding shit in has never, in the history of humankind, ever worked.
Ever. You know, and I think I'm guilty of it myself, of excuse me, of, you know, the tough guy image. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't want to, you know, but weak. I'm slowly... The more people I interview, it's like, if this fucking guy can fucking come spill his fucking shit,
yeah,
why am I, you know, I'm nobody special. You know, I've had a guy on that was a tier one guy, and I respect the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
Come on and told his whole story, excuse me, about putting a gun in his mouth.
Yep.
The top of the top guy.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, I support everything that guy does now. You know what I mean? It made me feel different inside. You know, and it's like,
of course,
if this level of guy is willing to come share his stuff, you know, because before I'd be like, man, that's for cowards. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's a cowardly act, you know, and I'm sometimes I'm like, it frustrates me when I hear another veteran's killed himself. I'm like, oh my God, or somebody. It's like, what? Yeah. I guess because I've never had them thoughts. You know what I mean? So I've always been like, you know, what a way to go out, you know?
Well, and it's a sensitive topic, and I'm sure your viewers are going to fucking throw you some hate mail about what I'm going to say.
It's so okay.
As somebody who has gone almost completely to the final end of trying to kill themselves, I'm going to say this. When somebody kills themselves, their pain is just passed on to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So you're no longer in pain. Good for you. Now your wife, your children, wear that pain. Your friends, wear that pain for the rest of their lives. So I don't know about cowardly, because sometimes the pain is just too much. I get it, man. I get it. I get that the pain's too much and that you've tried for 20 years and you just can't handle it anymore, so you're fucking done. I get it. But generally speaking, when you off yourself, you've just thrown your vomit, because that's what it is. All your bile and vomit is on everybody that you love. The worst that you were doing it so that you didn't hurt anybody anymore. And now you've added the pain to them. That is, there's no metric for the amount of pain that you've put them through now for the rest of their lives. No kid ever understands, ever. My daddy, my mommy, my whoever killed themselves. And it's my fault. No, little Tommy, it's not your fault. Yes, it is. He did it because I didn't clean my room. Now, these are the conversations I've heard kids say. He killed himself because I came in the house and I left mud everywhere. And he told me, he said, I do it all the time. And then now it could have been a month later that he killed himself. But to that kid, the two are linked.
Yep.
Now, you can't control how anybody's going to take anything that you do. But I would say this, that before you fucking pull the trigger or hang yourself or whatever you're going to do, ask yourself a simple question. When I'm gone, how is this going to impact the people I care about? Now, while you're asking that question, see, I have this special rule to everybody that ever sits there and messages me about fucking offing themselves. I got a simple rule. If you're going to do it, you have to wait. You have to wait. So hypothetically, Marcus is talking to Marcus. Marcus, listen, you have to wait until we talk on the phone or do this kind of thing. You're not allowed to kill yourself, hurt yourself. You're not allowed to do any of that shit until after we talk. After we talk, you want to do it? Then cool. You can do it. But not until afterwards. So let's say you messaged me at 9 p.m. your time.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to do the act until we actually have a face-to-face. Mm-hmm. Now, I might not be able to get that phone call or message until 9 a.m. the next morning. I've got a standard rule. Don't fucking kill yourself until we talk. After that, it's on you. So far, only one dude has not listened to that. So far, one out of, I think, 15 guys, two chicks. Remember, when we want to kill ourselves, it's not that we want to end our lives. We just don't want to be in pain anymore. We just don't want whatever's troubling us to bother us. It's not that we want to die. It's just that we don't want to live anymore in the pain that we're in from whatever it is that's causing us pain.
Yeah.
So if we can get rid of that pain, then we can start to live. So the hard part is finding a way to deal with that pain. And, you know, suicide, I don't I don't paint vets or law enforcement or firefighters or EMT or the janitor. I don't paint anybody as special for when it comes to killing yourself. Because when you're dead, when you've killed yourself, suicide, a vet killing themselves and a janitor killing themselves, if they have the same family structure, it doesn't fucking matter the why or what they did. It doesn't matter. So I don't give a shit if you're tier one or a janitor in the military, or if you're a law enforcement guy as a rookie, or you've been there for fucking 50 years. Death is death, and killing yourself is killing yourself. And the after effect is going to be the same regardless. They're going to come in. They're going to see you. Their last image of you is your head's out and you've shit your pants. That's the image they're going to have of you forever. Is that what you want? You want your kid to see you with your shit pants and bloated and you fucking stink and you smell and your head's half off? Well, no. Well, then don't do it. But I'm in pain. Okay. Then let's deal with the pain, because you don't want to really die. You just want to get rid of the pain. And again, I'm not a fucking therapist or psychologist or any other word that has an MD at the end of it, but I know what it's like to want to die.
Yeah.
Now I just want to live.
Yeah. Now, if it was now, I want to go ahead and jump into this part. So if a veteran did, just not EMT, just, you know, because I deal with a lot of veterans.
Yeah.
What if one contacted you, what would that conversation kind of go like?
Listening as much as possible, get them fucking talking about everything. Because a lot of the times what we think about in our head versus when it comes out, like in our head, it's the fucking Titanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our head, it's the worst thing ever. When you say it out loud, all of a sudden the Titanic becomes like, you know, one of those carnival cruise ships, right? And then it all of a sudden it becomes a fucking Gilligan's Island boat, whatever that is. I mean, we're both old enough to remember Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
And then talking a little bit more, all of a sudden it becomes a sailboat. And then talking a little bit more, maybe it becomes a rowboat and then stays at a rowboat. So whatever the problems that we've imploded and made it fucking a nuclear bomb, if we can talk enough, you can see it for what it really is. Now, again, I'm being very, very general, because everybody's situation is so unique that it's impossible. And I think unfair to sit there and just one label, right? Like, or one brush. No, we're just talking, give you some pills and everything will be fine. But I think talking is the first thing, because men in general shut down. They shut off, right? Can't talk to my wife about this because she'll think I'm a pussy. I can't talk to my kids about this because they'll think I'm crazy. Can't talk to my coworkers about this because they'll fire me, right? Especially for cops. Cops and military guys can't talk about fucking suicidal thoughts.
You can't. No.
Well, that's the stupidest thing ever. That is the stupidest thing ever. You have a problem, but we're not going to talk about it. I have a gush. What happens when I have a fucking a huge open wound that needs a tourniquet? But I can't do it because... that's bad. We put a tourniquet on it. We stuff a chest seal on it, right? If there's a fucking bullet wound, we pack it. Why when it comes to suicide, we just fucking, nope, can't talk about it. We'll take your job away. Well, fuck, that's not going to want them to do it. And then it just becomes compounded, man. Tetris, right? I've never played Tetris a lot, but I know that it's like shit comes down. You try to make a wall. And then once you make a straight wall, it diminishes. And then fucking the next one comes. Well, when you're living in a life of pain, your whole world's fucking Tetris. You're trying to compartmentalize all that shit to put into so that it all makes sense. And then eventually you'll have an implosion, boom, where you fucking have to explode. And then it starts over again. And that's where people don't want to fucking live anymore because they're tired of playing Tetris. So I would tell them to talk. Just let's listen to it. Give minimal... not criticism, but hey, man, have you thought about this? Because the truth is, nobody, when they're in pain, wants you to solve their problem, really. They just need to fucking vent. They just need to let it out, right? At the end of the day, my job isn't to, as a human being, like talking to, you know, Joe Smith, my job isn't to fix nothing. My job is just to give them a safe place to let shit out.
Yeah.
Now, here's where I get a lot of people some backlash. If you come to me on Monday and you say, I have this problem, and we talk, And then you come back on Friday and you're like, I have this problem, same problem. And we talk. Then you come back the next Wednesday. I have this problem, same problem. Listen, at some point in time, you have to fix your shit. At some point in time, you have to own it and be like, okay, I'm responsible for my misery, which is 90% of all of us. Most of us with our problems in our head, it's our fault. We caused it. Or we allow it to happen. Either way. So if you're not willing to fix it, and sucking on a bullet isn't the fix, that was just a solution that you didn't want to put in the work. Now, remember, before anybody comes and fucking death threats me, understand that we're talking about such a massive subject, and I'm trying to put finger holes. It's like trying to fucking stick my finger in the ocean and be like, okay, well, it won't move anymore. Like, it's a massive subject. But generally, talk, listen, actively listen, not listen with the intent of, okay, they're about to finish, now I can talk. Shut your fucking brain, shut your mouth, and listen to what they're actually saying. Listen to it. Because I'll bet you it's the first time, if you actually do that, it'll be the first time anybody's listened to them in their lifetime. Ever.
No, that's a great point, because I had a guy reach out to me, and this is no bullshit. And I could tell all he wanted to do was get something off his chest.
Yep.
But when the conversation first started, he's like, man, I just don't want to live anymore. I'm like, dude, what's going on, man? What's going on? And he literally vented, and at the end, he's like, dude, thank you so much. I'm like, you okay? He's like, yeah, man. No, I just needed that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a veteran. I served with him, and, you know, he's every day. I wouldn't say every day, but, I should probably do it every day, but probably once a week, once every 7 days. Hey, man, how you doing? Doing great, man. Appreciate you talking to me. And it's that simple.
Yep.
You know,
and so in this day and age, what's a text message? Really?
Exactly. Like
0.1 second. Hey, fucker. Yeah. You good? You know, whatever, or however you speak to him. Hey, dipshit.
Yeah.
Hope you haven't fucking done something stupid, because I like you. You know, whatever. Yeah. Speak to him. Yeah.
Just blown some kisses.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking send an emoji that's completely inappropriate. Yeah. You know, I think the hardest part. Now, again, as somebody who never deployed or never was in the military, mm-hmm. you know, but I've worked with so many different groups, military groups, that the biggest problem when you finish fighting, whatever that means in your world, when you come home, there's a part of you that is missing, because you don't have a tribe. You don't have your community anymore. You're back home. You're like, yeah, my wife and kids. And then all of a sudden, kids screaming for fucking 4 hours straight. And you're like, Jesus Christ, can somebody just shoot a bullet at me so I can get out of here? Like, fuck, give me some adrenaline. Let me talk to my guys. Which, again, when you live in the past, when I was over there, or when I, like, hearing the words when I, you know, shit's going to go sideways, right? Yep. Whatever you've done in your past, good or bad, it's over with. Yep. So how about now? What are you doing now? And that's where I think we run into a problem, because we, as a collective, are not doing anything now. And so we have to live off of our past stuff. And there's where we're going to run into a problem, because that shit's done and over with, man. It is over with, done. You know, you'll always get guys who, again, it doesn't matter. Could be fucking, I'm going to use athletes, okay? You get the college athlete who's the big guy, or the high school football guy, and he's talking at the bar about how he threw fucking 90 touchdowns in fucking 10 minutes. But now what are you doing in your life? Well, I don't do anything. And that's why you're miserable, and that's why you're living in the past. So why don't you try doing something now, finding something now, finding a purpose for now? Because most of the time, you look at a lot of guys who kill themselves, again, because I'm not talking about the people who have PTS, and it's overwhelming, man. They have just not found a way to put things in a proper perspective so that the volume and their noise in their head is lower. But when you sit there and you're like, okay, I'm back home, and I used to do this, and people know you as that guy, like, you used to do this. They don't know Mark. I have to make it about me, because that way it's easier. Yeah. Marcus used to be a fucking this. And now he's, oh, well, we don't want to talk about that new Marcus because that new Marcus isn't sexy. Let's talk about what he used to do and keep talking about that. And so I only get attention from people when we talk about what I used to do. Nobody wants to hear about what I'm doing now or the fact that I'm not doing anything now. Nobody wants to talk about let's find solutions for what we can do tomorrow or in the future. Everybody lives in the past because it's easier. It's just easier to talk about what's in the past. Yeah, man, when I used to do this and I used to do that. It's just a fucking stick of dynamite ready to fucking explode. You just can't live in the past. You can't. Yeah. And I don't like using the word can't because it's very like for sure. You can't do this and there's nothing you can't do. The only thing that we know for sure is you're going to die. Like that's the only thing other than that there's nothing else and maybe taxes. Right? But and even that not 100%. I'm just kidding, IRS. I'm just kidding. Don't fucking audit me. But when you're, if death is the only thing that's for sure, then everything else has a possibility. And if we can have that possibility and not living in the past and just taking today and being like, okay, well, I used to do this. Never mind what I used to do. What can I do today? And finding a purpose and finding a reason. I took the Spartan Pledge. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Spartan Pledge, which was created by a guy named Boone Cutler. You're familiar with this?
I'm not.
So the Spartan Pledge is very simple. Find a battle buddy and find a new mission. And a new mission that might help your warfighter family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the pledge. And if most of us we'll find a healthy battle buddy, not a guy who's going to fucking be like, yeah, Alan, man, back when we were back in the day when we did this, not one of those guys. But a guy will be like, okay, Alan, what are we going to do today, man? Well, yeah. And then finding solutions, positive solutions, healthy solutions for today and tomorrow. And that when you have a battle buddy to do it, then you don't feel alone. Like the guy who sat there and said, you know, thanks for listening to me. I'll bet you that's the first time in decades that somebody actually took the time to just hear him.
Yeah.
Because nobody listens. Your wife doesn't listen. Your spouse, your kids don't listen. As you're about to say something, they cut you off. But nobody listens. Because everybody wants to get their fucking point across.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, man. It's definitely like that. It is definitely like that. Unless you're just over talking everybody, you know what I mean? Which nobody wants to do. Well, some people do.
Well, a lot of people overtalk because nobody's listening, right?
Yeah.
So active listening and open communication is probably the single most important thing as a society that we, as a species, that we need to improve drastically on.
Yeah. Yeah. So you traveled overseas a lot. What was the best country, most beautiful country you've been to and why?
I'm going to say Greece. But now keep in mind, I have to caveat this a little bit. My job, I went to over 20 countries and unfortunately, my job is airport, training venue, hotel, training venue, repeat back to airport. And when people would be in these countries with me and they're like, okay, so we'll take you here. I'm like, look, I don't want to see anything. Because I've spent 10, 15 hours teaching all day. All I want to do is go back to my hotel room and shut the fuck off of everything. but I've been to China several times. My godson's in China. So I've gotten to do, like, I saw the Great Wall and the Shaolin Temple for them kung fu dudes that are listening. I've been to Argentina a bunch of times and seen some beautiful things. I mean, I've been to very beautiful countries. I can't say I've seen a lot of Costa Rica, been there many times. Finally got to sit there and you know, go around some volcanoes and stuff. Excuse me. Greece, as I said, is absolutely stunning. And I didn't even get to see a lot of it. Just smelling the air and seeing the water was good enough for me. So I've seen a lot of beautiful countries. And like you, I'm sure I've seen a lot of shitty countries. And, you know, this is where I laugh when people sit there and talk about America. You know, as a Canadian, in this country, it is, it's not the best country in the world, but it's the best country to me. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best country. I've seen a bunch of people from, or I've seen a bunch of different countries, and I'm sure that those, I hope that those people are like, no, my country's the best, because you should take pride in the country you're from. You should. And if you're not happy about that country, then move to a country that you do like and be proudful, prideful of that country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in one of the finest countries there is on this planet. And there's, you will never, you could cut off my arms, my limbs, you could cut my dick off, you could stab me in the throat. I'm never going to change my mind.
Yeah.
This country is, I mean, right now we're having some issues, but no matter what, thick or thin, be proud of that country that you're in. I'm proud of America. When I get to be a citizen, will probably be the highlight of my life. That's all I can say, that I would die a happy man, because it's, yeah, it's a magnificent country. Many, 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 not all, many Americans just fucking take it for granted. Like, but that's human nature. Human nature, we always take it for granted. If you've ever had an ex-wife, you probably took her for granted, or ex-husband, mm-hmm, or whatever. it, you know, our health, yeah, we usually take that for granted. There's a bunch of shit we take for granted, because that's, as a human being, as a species, that's what we do. We take for granted what's, what we have in this lifetime, and then bitch and complain for fucking decades later. I coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. But I'm not taking this country for granted. I fucking love it.
No, it's great, man. You hit the nail on the head, man. A lot of people that's never been outside this, excuse me, outside this country have, yep, no idea. You can say what you want and see what you see on TV until, yep, you are there.
Yeah.
Smell.
Yep.
You can't bottle that shit up, man. You know, yep, what I mean? This country is the greatest country in the world. You know what, yep, I mean? You can be nobody and make a fucking great living.
Yep.
You know, in other countries, you can't make shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
there's a,
crazy,
lot of countries. Yeah. No, it's very true. And when you look at, again, I have a problem with anybody who bashes another country for, you know, you want to bash America. Okay. Bash it. That's your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions, as we know, are like assholes, right? Everyone's, yep, got one. So bash, that's your opinion. Once you're finished with your opinion, shut the fuck up. We don't need to go any further. You don't like America? I like America. What, instead of what we don't like, how about we agree? We both like fucking blizzards from Dairy Queen. Let's talk about blizzards. Yeah, that's good. Yes. Let's talk about blizzards. There's so many people that just want to fight and fight and fight. Let's talk about what we do like. I like women with big butts. Yeah, me too. Okay, let's talk about that. That's way better than you bad-mouthing my country and making me want to rip out your throat.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Let's just agree that we don't see eye to eye on this subject, but let's talk about what we do agree. Now, I believe in debate. I believe in healthy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets to a part where, Alan, you were in NASCAR, correct?
Yes.
Okay, what's the competition in NASCAR? What's the other, what are the other racing, like,
you got style? F1.
F1. Okay, let's leave it there.
IndyCar. Yeah.
Okay. So IndyCar. Okay, because it's easier for my brain. You're talking about NASCAR. I'm like, no, fuck NASCAR, man. IndyCar all the way. As soon as I'm like, fuck NASCAR, we're going to not have a conversation, right?
Yep.
Don't, as soon as you start putting down what I like, why not just be like, well, NASCAR, but it's my understanding that, you know, you guys are only allowed to use four wheels and IndyCar can use 92 wheels and blah, 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 blah. And you find you, and then you'll educate me and I'll educate you and we'll have a discussion about it until we get to a point where we can't be reasonable anymore. And then we're like, okay, back to blizzards. Yeah. Because nobody should have a fight over a blizzard, right? That's just fucking sick. So that's where I have a problem with talking with people. And that's where it's difficult. You know, this is the worst I've seen our planet in my lifetime. And I've seen it in some bad times, but this is the worst I've ever seen our entire planet. Like, our entire planet's just a shit show.
Yeah.
Mostly because nobody's willing to just have a reasonable conversation. Say, okay, well, I don't agree with you on that. I don't agree with you either. Okay. Do you want to continue having the conversation? Well, I want to keep talking to you. Good. Okay. Well, let's talk about something that we can have a good conversation about.
Yeah.
Because what's the main purpose? I have to prove that I'm right. You have to prove that you're right. Like, that's not a conversation. It's a pissing contest.
Yeah.
The and fuck
I
is
have
that?
To admit, man, I'm very controversial and I try not to be. I don't know why. I can't get it out of my head. You know what I mean? And that's the one stamp I can say that's really fucked up about me is my, you know, I hate people bashing what I like, you know, and I'm going to confront right. you about it, you know, and yeah. I don't know. It's just one of them things.
But let's be honest. So name one thing that you really like that people might bash on. Name one thing.
I am a huge Roll Tide fan, Alabama fan, and a huge Steelers okay. fan, and people bash all the time.
Okay.
And I'm so, like, motherfucker. Okay.
So Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Football team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, let's just put things in. It's football.
Yep.
Sport. So let's say I'm a huge Cowboys fan because I lived in Texas 6 years and I'm probably going to die there because I'll go back there pretty quick. So if I sit there and I'm like, Pittsburgh sucks and you're like, Dallas sucks and I got stats, you got stats or whatever. What are we really arguing about? We're arguing about a football team, right?
Yeah, football team, yeah.
Right. So, you know, that to me, that's to be honest with you, being passionate and loyal to a sporting event or a team or whatever, like that's cool, man. You got to love something, shit. You got to be passionate about something. But if we had this, I'm gonna go with Dallas. So we're fighting back and forth, having huge scraps about fucking Pittsburgh sucks and yours Dallas sucks and when's the last time you won anything? And then for a second, out of nowhere, a little child comes by and trips and splits its head open. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding. Are we going to continue arguing about that or are we going to fix that
kid?
Hell
no. Fix kid.
Okay. So no matter how my point is no matter how controversial, no matter how much we fight about, and some people would say it's not stupid things, when all of a sudden something really important does come in and we can see that that's what's important, that's where I have faith and hope in humanity. Because if you and I were arguing almost the fucking blows over which team is better, and then somebody tripped and fell, and we both shut our pie holes and went to go take aid to that child and made sure that they comforted them and made sure they were okay, isn't that really all that matters? Not about what Absolutely. We disagree on. It matters more that we won the important shit that we will come together. And that's where, like, I look at every time a horrific tornado or hurricane or earthquake or something happens. Absolutely, without doubt, fucking our humans beings as a species is fucking retarded. I'm sure aliens and other animals are looking at us on how fucking stupid we are. However, when those things happen and you watch men and women diving into water, you got men who can't swim diving into water to save kids. You got women diving in and risking their own life to save one fucking person, another human being of a different color, different race, color, creed, whatever. That's the shit that needs to be fucking talked about on a regular basis. That's the shit that needs to come together and understood. Because if all I'm hearing is Pittsburgh sucks and Dallas sucks, and this is the what's being in my brain, and I forget about what being a human being, humanity is really about.
Yeah.
We're lost. And that's where mainstream media and all the fucking bullshit, it's all fucking noise, all bullshit. It's all fucking bullshit because at the end of the day, if a child is running across the street, somebody's going to go grab that kid and they don't give a shit whether it's black, green, blue, yellow, fucking tall, shat, fat, doesn't fucking matter. They want to make sure that kid doesn't get smacked by that car. And that's all yep. that fucking matters. Taking care of our fellow human being. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And you put twist on stuff and reality on stuff that a lot of people wouldn't even think about. You know what I mean? Hell, even listening to you, I'm like, I just need to start doing that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm trying to remember another question. What kind of dog you got?
They're my roommate's dogs. Australian Heeler. Is that what they're called? Australian Heeler. And then there's a mutt. And they're both beautiful dogs. But it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure they're like, get me the fuck out of here. I want to go chase something. And my neighbor, I can tell. I know my roommates right now are like, fuck, he's on a podcast. Oh, shut up.
Whatever. Yeah.
Fucking! If you can't hear dogs barking, what's
it's a part of it, man.
Yeah,
it's part of it. No, if they'll be all right. You know what I mean? Have you personally ever gotten anything overseas, any close counters or had to, you know, thought you're going to have to defend yourself?
Yeah, well, most, like, there's a lot of times I'm pretty insulated when I go to these countries, like all these countries I'm pretty well taken care of, but you know, I've been to Colombia and I've definitely not felt very good in Colombia. Mexico City, which I'm really well protected in Mexico City. Like I got good people around me on the regular basis, but Mexico City is no fucking joke, man. Like I do not feel good as a gringo walking down the street. And it's not about the bad guys. There's fucking federales that are, you know, they'll jack you up in a fucking heartbeat because they're the cops. And what are you going to do about it? You know? And I don't have no problem with the idea of bribing or paying. I got no problem with any of that. Where I have a problem with it is this fucking guy can put me in a ditch and nobody's going to know.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be able to do a goddamn thing about it. That's where I got a fucking problem. And I mostly trained in people in Latin countries. You know, I've been to Korea, South Korea, China, Philippines, you know, like I've been to a bunch of different countries, but Latin countries, when you're a white face sticking out, man, that's no fucking joke. And it's, you know, and I'm not really carrying anything necessarily, you know, I make sure that I have fucking, you know, pens and pencils, something that could puncture an eyeball. But what good is that going to do you when you've got dudes with fucking, weapons and they're not afraid to use them. Yeah. Right. And you're out, man, fucking 6-1. So I don't miss that part of traveling. I don't want to go overseas anymore and work. I love America and I'd love to just stay here and do some work, because of the fact, and I'm not saying that I feel any, you can put me in fuck here and even Arizona. There's parts of Arizona that are no joke, man. You don't want to be fucking around. I'm just like any part of the United States, there's always shitty parts. But at least in America, if I get jacked up, I feel pretty good about what my odds are about doing stuff. But overseas, you know, man, it's no fucking joke. Now, Israel, I've been to Israel so many times. I lived there for a year. And, you know, if I didn't move to America, I would have moved to Israel. I love that country. I don't ever feel threatened by anything. I mean, when rockets are coming over, that's a different day's conversation. But yeah, Latin America is probably especially Colombia. That was not fun.
I'm sure. What part of Korea were you in? Can you remember the city?
The Seoul. I was in Seoul.
Seoul.
Yeah.
Did you eat any of the food or?
Oh yeah. 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 I mean, you know, the Koreans, man, they love that spicy shit.
Yeah.
And it's not like Latin spicy, you know, it's not like Mexican spicy. That'll burn your ass. That'll fucking kill your insides. That's why there's no disease over in Korea, because that disease comes in your body. They have some kimchi with some spicy sauce and it just fucking kills that thing. Like disease, like, oh fuck, I'm dead.
Yeah. I got some Korean liquor right here. I was stationed in Korea for 2 years. Little soju right there. But oh yeah. Yeah, I loved it there. I've been to the Philippines as well and it's hotter than shit. Oh,
It's God. Muggy as a all get out, man. You need 6 showers and that's just getting up in the morning.
Yep. Yeah. Where were you at? Manila, Malate, Pasay?
Yeah, Manila was main of it, and then I did a couple of little things off on an island by Cebu. A little bit. And Philippines, like my first wife is Filipino. I actually grew up with a shit ton of Filipinos. Philippines is a special place to me. You know, it's the Filipino culture is one that I'm very, very well educated in.
My ex-wife's Filipino.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Tagalog or speak Bisaya?
She's from Zamboanga. So my daughter's half Filipino. Okay.
Does she speak the language? Chipicano. Your daughter speaks? Your daughter speaks?
Yeah. A little bit, not much.
A little bit. Yeah.
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 So you like some sinigang?
Oh yeah, fuck. And bring some lumpia. I'll kill 6 people just to have some lumpia right now.
You ain't lying, man.
Yeah, that's some good stuff right there. See, and that's the beautiful part. For those of you that have not been around Filipino culture, the beautiful part is every morning you can have rice out of the pot. And some whatever's left over from the night before. Put that shit together, and that's breakfast.
Yep. It's good, man.
It's good stuff.
You ever go to Boracay?
No, I was not able to go.
Man, you got to go, man. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, Philippines is a gorgeous country. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's got Manila is actually the worst place to go to, like any it big is. City, right? It's not fun, but
yeah,
and it's dangerous in Manila. No, don't fuck around in Manila, man.
I was paying cops to watch me, man.
Is really? That right? Yeah.
Yeah, I was there in 04, and that's when Abu Sayyaf was real bad. It's a Muslim terrorist group.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I literally had cops watching my back. I was there 45 days, me and a buddy, and dude, it got hairy, man. It got
real fuck hairy. Yeah, dude. Yeah, no fuck around. And they're prideful people, you know.
They are.
Don't fuck around. Don't make fun of their culture. Don't do anything. They'll fucking stab you. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever said this out loud, but I have. When they talk about Filipinos, and I'm like, okay, best way to deal with a Filipino with a knife is shoot them as far away as possible. Don't let them come near you. Because it's in their blood. You could have somebody who's never picked up a knife ever, and you put a sharp-edged weapon in their hands, and they'll fucking slice and dice you like they've been doing it for their whole life. No joke.
It's embedded in them.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. But I will say this. They're some of the most loyal people in the world.
Yep. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You can't... No. I will never argue that. I've got friends. I haven't spoken to them in 7 years. And I know for a fact. I sit there and be like, hey, man. Blah 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 blah. Be like done.
So would you drink? Were you still drinking around that time when you were going to that place?
Yeah.
So you drank some San Miguel, some Red Horse beers. I was like, good stuff.
Yep. And I drink a lot of coffee, and I had some batshit coffee, and so that's at where they take they feed the bats a certain type of bean, and when they shit it out. Then they clean it up and then they make coffee and they call it batshit coffee. Oh, it's fucking expensive as shit, but it as shit. It's expensive and it's fantastic. It's some of the best coffee I have ever had in my life.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've never had it.
They do it with some monkeys. You know, they feed them a specific thing and their body can't digest it. So it goes through the process and acids and it pops out and fucking. Then they clean it up, thankfully, and cook it up. And, that's good
Holy
stuff.
Holy shit, man. I did not know that. You just educated me on that. And I've been to
coffee.
I've been to several countries myself, but I've never heard of that. I probably didn't fucking know it. You know what I mean?
Good part about when you travel, don't ask what it is. Just fucking eat it. And if you didn't like it, you didn't like it. Yeah.
You ever had balut over there?
Yep.
I did too. Once. It was disgusting.
Listen, man, but them Asian countries, you gotta it's an acquired taste, and you honestly is. like that's why I laugh when I'm here in America and people are like, oh, I don't like that food or whatever. Just look at any Asian man and you put anything in front of them and they'll fucking eat it because the shit that they've eaten, I'm gonna have some beef tongue. Okay. Are you gonna cook it? No. Just fucking wash it and give me some rice. I'm like, my God, I'm going to throw up. Yeah, they eat fucked up stuff, man.
They do.
No thanks. I'm full on a pussy. I admit it 100%. I'm like, give me a steak. Cook that bitch until at least medium rare. Put some spices on it and don't put any organs near it. I don't need no fucking balls, kidneys, liver. Just stay the fuck away from me.
Dude, one time they made some soup over there and there was fish heads floating in it.
Done. I'm done.
I can't do it, man.
I don't need it staring at me. Like, please don't eat me.
Yep.
What the fuck are you dead? Thank you.
The funny thing was, and God bless them, they're great people. They was like, don't eat because we make special meal for you. And I'm like, okay. So I'm fucking starving, dude. Starving.
Yeah.
And that big ass bowl come out with five fish heads floating in. I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, yeah. No.
Oh, you don't like that? Here's some chicken feet.
Yeah.
With
some intestines on a stick.
Yeah. No. But we have rice. I'll take the rice.
Yeah.
When in doubt, you become a vegetarian pretty fucking quick a lot of times because you can't fuck up bok choy and some fucking vegetables.
Yeah.
You can't.
I told my ex wife, just take me to Jollibee, please.
Yeah. Give me one of them American restaurants quick. Yeah. Please. So. Fuck yeah.
All right, brother. Well, I got one more question for you. And
all right, I'm ready.
I'll let you go for the day. What would you tell a younger version of yourself?
Well, it's a loaded question. So I would do two things. I would say have some compassion. Have some compassion for who you were in the past and who you're going to be in the future. And that no matter what everybody told you, they lied. No matter what. You're not a piece of shit. You're not useless. And you can be anything that you want to be. Don't believe a fucking word that people say. Because that's the problem with adults, man.
Yeah.
They say some fucking shit that's not very cool. And unfortunately, as young people, we soak it up as truth. And that's the problem. It's not, we don't know, we can't discern what truth is and what opinions are.
Mm-hmm.
So my younger self, I'm going to steal a thing from my friend Rick Hogg, who has a company called Warhog Tactical. And I wish I would have heard. Oh, do you? Okay.
Yes. Well,
Rick's a solid cat. He's more than a.
Oh, shit. We'll try to get him back on here real quick. There he is.
What did I hit the wrong button or something?
I don't know what happened. You just...
Okay. All right. Well, I'll answer that really quickly. Rick told me something very, very cool. And it's become a mantra. And I'm the best person in the room. There's nothing I can't do. I may not be the best, but there's nothing I can't do. If I'd gotten that information when I was a young man, I can say confidently, and I don't believe in, you know, my path was my path. I have no regrets, but I'm curious how my path would have went knowing that information. Because it's a game changer. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Rick's a good dude, man. He's a good dude.
He is
solid cat.
Yeah. I went to podcasting and I'll talk to you just for a second, man. I cannot thank you for coming on, man. You went deep, man. And a lot of people don't do that. And I appreciate you doing it. And, you know, it takes a grown man and a set of nuts to do that shit, you know, and wow. I appreciate it. So
well, thank you for having me on, brother. I do honored
that you came on, brother. Honest to God, thank you for coming on. Hang out just for a second, and then
check.
Gotcha.